We've been speaking about the importance of voting. We've been unpacking manifestos as believers, how we ought to be going through manifestos, because we have to be responsible voters, not voters that are swayed by what we see online, not voters that are swayed by water cooler conversations. We have to be responsible voters that are applying not just our intellect, but more importantly, the word of God as we do this. And Boshoff joins us again this afternoon to be able to unpack that for us. Boshoff, welcome back to the Afternoon Drive. Of course, it's good to be chatting to you.
Hi, Kosi, good to see you.
I've thoroughly enjoyed the two parts that we've had in conversation, and I'm really looking forward to the next two parts that we still have, where we're really drawing closer to the elections. And I'm sure you're talking to a number of people that you're also really trying to get them to understand how pivotal it is for them to vote. Are you finding people are really slowly but surely drawn to wanting to vote?
They are drawn to wanting to vote, but it seems like they need something. So I know the voting stations will open at 7 o'clock in the morning. So maybe we need coffee. It will go on until 9 o'clock at night. So maybe we'll need wine by that time. But it does seem like people just need a bit of a push mentally as to why they should be activated in this way. Mm. And I've spoken just over the past week with just so many Christians. I mean, 84% odd of South Africans are Christian. And then Christians ask the question, okay, so as Christian, why should I vote? Now, if you ask me that question, then I go to scripture. And Psalm 89:14 is my guide. So 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So that's what God is about. The rest of that verse then talks about mercy seat and so on. But it starts off with righteousness and justice is what God is about. So in the democratic process in South Africa, if you think about what justice means, it means to fix things that are broken. And we have the privilege that from 1994, a broken system where we didn't have true democracy has now been fixed. The next step for us is righteousness. And righteousness is to create an environment where all...
Sorry, Boshoff, I seem to have lost you there for a moment. I'm going to see if I can get that line a little bit clearer there. Sorry, you were saying you unpacking righteousness again. Sorry.
So righteousness is the action that creates an environment where all can thrive. So participating and voting is an act of righteousness, because voting elects those leaders that will act righteously and give everybody in a particular environment in South Africa a place where they can, with dignity, claim jobs, be active in the economy, and so on and so forth. And I'll go further. And what I've been saying to my friends and the people around me, I've been saying that voting, voter participation, is an act of righteousness in accordance with scripture. And then me personally, I go further and I say the converse is also true. I believe that not voting or not considering who to vote for from a biblical perspective are acts of unrighteousness.
Mm. And I think that's the call to vote is one that's very pivotal for us as citizens of South Africa. But I think the call to vote as believers and followers of Christ, that call is so much more. And I think a lot of people have been wondering why it's so important. And I mean, we spoke about this last week or the week before, talking about a lot of people just finding that they just anticipate that their vote doesn't really signify so much, that their one vote is just one vote, and they already see what the future looks like. And maybe you can unpack and reflect on what we then spoke about, because then a lot of people are going, well, I'm not voting because then I don't know who to vote for. So even though I'm trying not to be lethargic in my approach, I still just don't know who to vote for. And last week we spoke a little bit about manifestos and the work that needs to be done in looking at the manifestos, one, but then two, and most importantly, looking at them through the biblical lens. Maybe guide us through that as a recap of why it's so important that we do that.
So again, I'll just speak from a personal perspective. So the scriptures guide us as to how to be active as Christians in everyday life, to have God's kingdom come to earth. And the way that we do that, scriptures tell us that it is know God, love his people, and then impact the world that you live in. Impact South Africa in a way that have his kingdom come to South Africa. So I then take that frame, that responsibility, that code of conduct, if you will, and I then take that frame to the manifestos. So in the first instance, what's important to God? I go to the manifesto and I say life is important to God. So then I want to see what a political party says about the right to life. What does a political party have to say about abortion and euthanasia, as an example? Then I go to loving people. So what is important to my fellow South Africans, to my children, to my wife? And sexuality, for example, is important. So I go to a manifesto and I ask the question, does a parent have a right to say something of the comprehensive sexual education that primary school kids get at school, as an example? I would then go to morality. Morality is important to people in South Africa. And what does a party have to say about legalizing prostitution and pornography? I then take a step into what is important for the country. And one of the big things that this election is going to focus on is property rights, a free market. Is the free market the way to benefit everybody in this country? And we spoke a bit about the property rights and the expropriation without compensation and what the Bible says about that. In short, the Bible protects and vests property rights in the hands of the individual. It's not an inalienable right. It's still subject to God's purposes, God's intent. And then restitution mechanisms are required. So that's just a broad framework of how I look at manifestos from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we also spoke about last week when we were unpacking that is really just going, realizing that a lot of the things that we find ourselves battling through in society, some of those issues that you've mentioned, are bills that we eventually see that we talk about here. We've done it over months where we're realizing that there's an influence in the way that children are raised, like you've brought up, and we ought to be able to influence that and really look at the lens of those things before it actually takes place. And that starts by what we do at the polls. And I think what you were saying is so important, that people actually be responsible voters by actually then going and reading through those manifestos with that biblical lens. But I want us to get a little bit practical this afternoon. You know, we're getting into a very unprecedented time of elections next week, Wednesday. And a lot of people are feeling a little bit anxious and not sure what to expect. A little bit earlier on, you're talking about it opens at 7. I actually didn't know what time it's going to open and what time it closes. But the all-important question is the conversation of the three ballots. This has been something that's been going on since the start of the year, if not even towards the latter part of 2023, of what is the third ballot? What three ballots, these independent candidates? I have an idea, especially if one has voted before, of what to expect when I make my way there. But also, I almost feel like it feels like I'm going to walk in there and find something completely different. So maybe help us in terms of, what will the ballot paper actually look like, and what can I expect to be shown in those ballot papers?
Sure. I think the first question that we need to ask in order to understand the construct of the ballot papers is what type of voting system South Africa has. So the voting system that we have is very unique, and it's referred to as a proportional voting system. So we as citizens, for example, you are not going to vote for the president. You vote for a party. That party pulls together a list of candidates that, depending on how many votes they get in the election, will then populate various seats that we'll get to in a moment. But the first point is, we don't vote for a president. We vote for a party, and that party has already pre-populated a list of people that they would want to bring into the various legislatures. You will see pictures of the leaders of those parties on the ballot papers, but that doesn't mean that you're voting for that leader. You are voting for the party. And then the 400 members, the 400 seats of the National Assembly, and how that's constituted, I'll talk about now. Those members then have 30 days after the election date to elect the president. So the next step then is, okay, so if I'm not voting for a person, I'm voting for a party, you know, is that a good system? Because now that's a flaw, and no system is perfect. But one of the flaws in our electoral system to date has been that the individual voter doesn't have access to or direct representation of a person that they vote for. And something big happened in our country in the past few months in Section 24A of the Electoral Act being changed and amended to, for the first time now, allow for independent candidates to also be part of the elections. So it's the first time that there is a direct link between the person that is voting and the person that we are voting for. But that, again, plays out in the three ballot papers. And maybe, of course, if I can shift gears, maybe we can go into the ballot papers now.
Yeah.
So the ballot papers, there are three. Let me start with the first two that relate to the National Assembly. And that is the national space where parliamentary members are elected to function in that space. So the first ballot paper is for the National Parliament, the National Assembly. On that paper, you have one vote. You can also only vote for parties that are named on that ballot paper. So although you might want to write another party's name on it, that is not going to be allowable. So that ballot paper will then be scrapped. You have one vote for one political party on that ballot paper. And what that does is it gives you 200 seats in the National Assembly. So that one vote is for a party, and that party, given the proportion that they hold to the actual votes cast on that day, will compete for 200 seats in the National Assembly, 200 of the 400 available. You'll notice that in that ballot paper, there's no independent candidate. It's just the parties. In the next ballot paper, also for the National Parliament, you have an additional vote for the other 200 seats in the National Assembly. But that's a different paper, and that is now region-specific or province-specific. In that paper, in that ballot paper, you can vote for a party or you can vote for an independent candidate. That's the place where the independent candidate now comes in, because that's more regionally focused. And the independent candidates and the parties then compete equally, depending on the proportion that their votes hold to the votes cast on the day. That then determines that next 200 seats. You then have a third component, and that is the third ballot paper for the provincial legislature. And again, there you have one vote, and again there you have access to a party vote and an independent candidate vote that you should know that operate in the region that you are voting for. Those votes then, on a proportionate basis, again, on the votes in that region, will populate the provincial legislature that determines provincial budgets, legislation, and the like. So that's the construct of the three ballot papers, and the gift, again, of a ongoing refined process of our democratic process of having independent candidates for the first time.
We're sadly running out of time, and I think this is something that's so interesting, because now the question comes in, especially with that third ballot where it's regional or provincial. Would I then be able, because obviously I when I register, I'm set to a specific voting station, and say for whatever reason I happen to be traveling next week Wednesday and I'm out of the city, or I'm out of town and not necessarily where my voting station is, and I go vote, I don't know, at a different voting station, or maybe even furthermore, at a voting station outside of my city, out of my province, would I still be able to have access to all three voting ballot papers?
So you can only vote at the station that you are registered, in the space that you're registered. If you cannot vote there, then there is a special ballot. And a lot of those special ballots have already run in places like the Netherlands and the US and all over the place, where there are South Africans that are living abroad that have voted. So I would suggest that if you won't be able on the day to be at the station where you have been registered, that you go onto the IEC website and see whether there are special voting approaches and places that you can be active in.
Yeah.
A lot of those have already run. Already we are a bit out of time for those that won't be able to do that on the day.
Boshoff, thank you so much for your time again this afternoon, because I think already my head is going, okay, now I already have an idea of what to expect next week Wednesday when I see those three ballot papers and what they each represent. So I look forward to us really, sadly, wrapping up the conversation, but also really proudly wrapping up the conversation, because I think a lot of people have been mobilized to then feel like, okay, I have a responsibility to go vote, and even now just having more practical details of what to expect. So thank you so much for your time again this afternoon. We'll catch up again next week Tuesday.
Great pleasure.
Absolutely amazing. Boshoff Grobler joining us this afternoon from the Heal Our Land Initiative, as well as Unashamedly Ethical. Really, the call still remains that you and I would go and cast our vote next week Wednesday. And if you maybe, first of all, miss the conversation, head on over to our website, impactradio.co.za. You'll find the first two parts of the conversation. This third one will be on our website a little bit later on this evening. Maybe before we wrap up at 6 p.m., you'll already find it there. But also, in the previous week, we spoke about just the manifestos, looking at it from a biblical perspective, and also a platform called Your Vote, where you're able to see different parties, how which one would match best for you. And they set it up sort of like an online dating platform, and it's a website that you can go and check out. It's Your Vote. If you want to get details on that, just pop me a message on the WhatsApp line with the word vote, and I'll be sure to send you that website detail through to you immediately on the WhatsApp line. But also, we spoke about those three ballot papers. If you're saying, you know what, Kwasi, I heard that, but I'd love to be able to have that a memory kind of really just staying with me till next week, pop me a message with the word a ballot, and I'll just send you an image of those three ballot papers so that you are well prepared for next week Wednesday. Because ultimately, the call still stands and the importance still remains that you and I go and vote come the 29th of May, that we not sit back and wait. It's our country, and we need to do the responsible thing and go and cast our vote.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.